I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, if you're visiting with us as a congregation, we have begun a series on the Gospel of Luke. And we're coming to Luke chapter 3, which is a transition section in the Gospel of Luke, transitioning from the ministry of John the Baptizer to the beginning of the earthly visible ministry, public ministry of Jesus Christ, found in Luke chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. Luke chapter 3 at verse 18. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all, that he locked John up in prison. And here begins our text. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." That's as far as reading in our passage this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we've had the privilege of seeing a little child brought to the church, and we have seen the sign and seal. We've seen the water that flows, the water that is poured out, the water which signifies the washing and the cleansing which is necessary for us all. But we ask ourselves a question before we begin this morning. Why is baptism a good thing? I mean, what is the good news in baptism? Why do we and our children have access to this rite? And why is access to this rite something which is positive? To put this another way, why was Tessa Jane allowed to be baptized? Why are we and our children allowed to access to this rite? And more specifically, why should we want access to this rite? Why do we want baptism to be administered to us and to our children? And as we look at the baptism of Jesus Christ found in our passage today, we also ask ourselves a second question. Is the baptism of Jesus Christ the exact same baptism that we receive? Or is there a difference? Is there a very significant difference between the baptism that Jesus received and the baptism that we receive today? So today we are going to see this theme, that Jesus Christ was baptized to turn our baptism into a blessing. If I say it in the reverse, unless Jesus was baptized, our baptism would not be a blessing, but would be a curse. It is only because Jesus Christ was baptized that we now have access to the blessings of baptism. And as I said before, within our text in Luke chapter 3, that the focus of Luke is quickly shifting from John the Baptizer to the centrality, to the primary importance of Jesus Christ. As we saw last week, the stage was being set. Now the king is approaching. The time of preparation is done. Now the kingdom of God has arrived. And we see this, that as Jesus begins his public ministry, he presents himself to John for baptism. As we begin to consider this text, our passage before us, we ask ourselves, why did Jesus come to be baptized? Why would Jesus come to John in order to be baptized? If we look at the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 3, we find that John even went so far as John tried to stop Jesus from being baptized. John did not want to baptize Jesus. And John had many proper reasons for a right understanding of why he should not be baptizing Jesus. John said in Matthew chapter 3, "Why would I baptize you? You need to baptize me." The reason why John was hesitant, the reason why John resisted baptizing Jesus, is because the baptism that John was presenting, the baptism that John was giving, was a baptism of preparation and a baptism for a repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The crowds were all coming to John. If you remember last week, the crowds, but the whole world, really, was coming to John, and they were acknowledging their need for being washed, being cleansed. John was convicting them. Remember, he said, "You brood of vipers." He was convicting the people, the entire tribes of Israel, that they needed to be washed, they needed to be cleansed. Why? Because they were filthy, they're polluted, they are filled with stain and spots and blemish because of their iniquity. They were lawbreakers, they were condemned, they needed to be cleansed. And then here comes Jesus, who John rightly says, the pure, spotless lamb. This doesn't make sense, John is saying. The crowds are coming, the people are coming because they are sin-filled. They are polluted, they are dirty, their garments are covered in animal filth. They need to be cleansed. But you, Jesus, you are the only one who is not. You are pure, you are without stain, you are that spotless lamb. Jesus is free from all pollution, all guilt, all iniquity. Jesus did not need the baptism for repentance from his sin because Jesus never sinned. What would Jesus repent from? He had no iniquity. So that was the first reason why John resisted. The second reason is that John recognized that Jesus was greater. Remember Jesus, in comparison to John, John said of Jesus, "I'm not worthy to untie his sandal strap. I'm not worthy to be the worst, the least, the smallest, the most insignificant servant compared to Jesus Christ. He must increase," John would say. "I must decrease." The focus is on Jesus. My ministry is a ministry of preparation. I'm getting the way prepared. I'm making the road straight, the road flat. Here comes Jesus. Why would I give you, Jesus, baptism when you should be baptizing me? I can't change hearts, John says. I cannot give the Holy Spirit. Jesus could, and Jesus will. So John says, "You need to baptize me." But Jesus says, "Let it be. Let it be so." In Matthew 3, verse 15, Jesus says, "Let me be baptized in order to fulfill righteousness." The reason why Jesus Christ came, the first reason why Jesus Christ came to be baptized was to fulfill righteousness. Now, this fulfilling of all righteousness means that Jesus knew he had a divine calling, mission, mandate that needed to be fulfilled. And part of that filling out the mandate placed upon him was that he needed to fulfill righteousness. Not only fulfilling the law and the prophets, but also securing righteousness for the sake of his people. And part of securing this righteousness, this fulfillment that he was called to do, meant that he needed to be baptized. In order for him to gain access for his people to come to the blessings of baptism, he needed to go before them to gain access. In other words, the Israelite people could not, the New Testament church could not come to baptism in their own power, in their own strength. Christ had to go before them to prepare the way, to open the way for the blessings of baptism. There was an internal truth that needed to be secured. The power, the meaning behind the external sign needed to be secured. And that meant that Jesus needed to receive the external mark as a part of his purchasing the internal purpose. So he fulfills righteousness and purchases our redemption by being perfect in all things, and that includes being the perfect one who is baptized. But there is another reason. There's a second reason, not only to fulfill all righteousness, but because his identity needs to be witnessed to. He needs to be identified. Jesus, this is at the beginning of his ministry, he needs to be identified. Who is this Jesus? Well, as we found in our passage in Luke chapter 3, when Jesus Christ was coming out of the water, he was praying, he was in prayer, he was petitioning the Lord for the sake of his people. And then we have this wonderful moment at the beginning of Jesus' ministry where he is identified by God himself that this is the Christ. This is the anointed one sent from God. So we have the Father speaking from heaven, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." That's verse 22. And we have this Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending upon him in the form of a dove. And in this moment, we have the threefold Father, Son, Holy Spirit united and being witnessed, testified, displayed, set before the world that this is the Christ. And then John would carry that message to the world. John would make it known to everyone who came to him, this is the Christ. God himself has told me, John would say, this is the Christ. And through John, the whole world would know. So that God and man are united in testifying that this is the one who was promised of old. So why was Jesus baptized? To be identified. That this is the Christ. Now remember, children, Christ anointed one means he has a threefold office: prophet, priest, and king. And throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ, he's going to faithfully and fully, and even today, continue to fill this threefold office. In Numbers chapter 40, verse 30, at the beginning of a priest term in office, he would be consecrated. When a priest was ordained to be put in office, they would have this consecrating oil which would be placed upon him. And what was the age that a man would be consecrated for office? 30 years old. Well, how old is Jesus? Read the next verse. He's 30. How was he consecrated? Not by the oil, which signified the Spirit, but by the Holy Spirit himself. Jesus is being set apart as the Christ, as the anointed one who would bring salvation to his people. But there is a third reason. The third reason that Jesus Christ went to be baptized is because he was going to prove that he was one with his people. Our passage opens in verse 21 where we read this: all the people were being baptized and Jesus was baptized too. This is not just a historical curiosity, a remark with no purpose. Jesus Christ is showing in his going down to be baptized with the people that he is one with his people. He says, I am one. I am one with the tribes of Israel. I am one with humanity, and I go with them to be baptized. Although the reason he was going was different, that does not mean he is so set apart from us that he doesn't identify with us. But he is not only set apart and signified by God, as we saw in the second aspect, but he is also united with us. The question is Jesus one with humanity? Is he really our brother? Is he like us in every way except for sin? Jesus says, yes. How am I going to prove it? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to go under the same thing that all the people are going under. I'm going to be baptized. His willingness to be baptized with the people is proof of his love for us, that he's willing to be a representative of his people and even to be a substitute who will stand in our place. So he goes down to be baptized. Jesus goes to be baptized for us, with us, and instead of us, as we see in our next point. But what does the baptism of Jesus have to do with the baptism of little Tessa? It's all interesting, theologically important, we see, but is there a connection between the baptism that Jesus Christ received and the baptism that little Tessa has just received? What is the connection here? Well, as we're going to see in our second point, there is a direct connection, but also a very significant difference. To be clear, Jesus did not need to be baptized on account of his sins. Little Tessa is baptized because she is a sinner. We read that in the form, and I know it may be hard to believe, for this little sweet little babe is a sinner, but she is. She is born in the line and the tribe of the humanity of Adam. She's a sinner. Jesus was not. That's one of the key differences. But in order for Jesus to gain heaven for us, he has to go through baptism and he needs to suffer under baptism. His baptism does more than just represent us, but his baptism opens the way for the blessings of baptism to be given to us. If you still have your Bibles open, I encourage you to turn with me back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. As I said a few minutes ago, in the form we read of baptism, there is this interesting moment in that form when there is a connection between the flood, the waters of the flood, and baptism. Now, children, let's think about the flood for a minute. When you think of the flood, do you think of good news or do you think of death and destruction? Well, I suspect you think of both. Right? There is an awful lot of death and destruction at the flood. The same thing at the crossing of the Red Sea, wasn't there? There was an awful lot of dead people at the Red Sea, and there was an awful lot of dead people during the flood. Well, if baptism is pointing us back to the flood, is that good news? Where is the good news if baptism is bringing us back to the flood? Well, as we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, that there is a direct connection between what Jesus Christ suffered and went under. In verse 21, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Speaking of the flood, this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you. Now think of the significance of these words. The water of baptism is a representative. It points us back. It's symbolic of the flood. Now, it might be helpful to remember that when Jesus was baptized, he wasn't sprinkled. He wasn't sprinkled with water. It was baptism by immersion. So, children, let's remember this imagery of baptism. To be baptized meant you literally went into the water, passed under through the water, and then you came back out. But it was a twofold process. You went into the water, through the water, and then you came back out. That gives us a better understanding of how there is a connection between baptism and the flood. What happened at the flood? If you remember your Old Testament history in the book of Genesis, in the flood, in the days of Noah, because of the wickedness, because of the depravity, because of the sinfulness of humankind, God sent a worldwide flood that covered the mountains of this earth so deep that there was no life, there was no flesh that breathed. All life on this earth was snuffed out, extinguished at the flood. Well, how is that pointing us to baptism? Well, congregation, someone dies at baptism. Someone must die at baptism. And the one who dies at baptism is Jesus Christ. The baptism of Jesus Christ that we read in Luke chapter 3 is pointing us, here interpreted by Peter, pointing us to what Jesus Christ did in his life and his ministry. That just as Jesus walked into the water and was covered with water, just as the flood covered this earth to kill, to wipe out, to extinguish sin, so Jesus Christ gave his life, suffered, and died on the cross. His life was extinguished to pay for sin. So who dies at baptism? Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, sin dies. Sin is put to death at baptism. As Jesus went into the water, was covered by the water, and died. Not here at baptism, but his whole life was a constant dying until he actually died on the cross. So who dies at baptism? Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, our sins. But there is a second aspect, isn't there? Because not only did Jesus Christ go into the water and was covered by the water, he came back out. He came back out. Well, what does our passage say about that? Well, look at the end of verse 21. Baptism saves you, verse 21 says, not the external washing of baptism, not the sign that we saw, but the baptism of Jesus saves you. Well, how does the baptism of Jesus save you? I thought baptism only talks about death. It does, absolutely. But baptism also talks about life, resurrection. Jesus went into the water, symbolically died in the water, and he came back out, which speaks of the resurrection. What happened at the death of Jesus Christ? He died on the cross, literally laid in the tomb, died, buried with earth, if you will, and on the third day, he rose again. He came back out of the water, if you will. And in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find life. You see, congregation, at the flood in Genesis, not only do we have this earth-wide death and destruction, we have the saving, the deliverance of Noah and his family, who was brought safely through the flood to the new world, to the new cleansed, purified world. Noah and his family were brought safely by way of the ark and found deliverance at the flood. You see, congregation of Christ, in baptism, someone dies. Someone will die at baptism. There's two options. Either you die for your own sins, or if you, like Noah, are in the ark, if you are in Jesus Christ, then he dies for you. And you enjoy the blessings of being brought through baptism, raised alive on the other side. So that at baptism you are not destroyed because of your sins. But in the ark, in Jesus Christ, you are bore safely through the flood and brought to the land of rest and peace. The baptism that Jesus Christ took upon himself was a baptism of a consuming flood, the baptism of a burning fire, condemnation. The only reason that baptism is good news for us is that Jesus Christ suffered the flood himself, died in the water, so that we would find life, so that he would take our place. You see, the fact that Jesus Christ was baptized for us in our place, that changes everything. Romans 7 verse 4 says this, "You died to the law through the body of Jesus Christ." Outside of Jesus Christ, there is only death and destruction, but in Jesus Christ, the waters of baptism are turned from a moment when you are put to death to now your sins are put to death, but you are brought to life. The baptism of fire that Christ received was a sign of his coming under the wrath and curse of God, and his walking through the water secures our baptism, where we now receive purity, peace, and acceptance. Let me say this another way, try to bring this point home. A few minutes ago, we saw little Tessa being baptized. Little babe brought here. She passed through the water. Why isn't she dead? Why aren't you dead? If it is true that you, and it is, you are born a sinner and you deserve to die under the flood. You deserve to be killed at baptism because of your sins. Why aren't you dead? It's because Christ went before you. Right? The only way that you can find life after baptism is if you are in the ark, if you are in Jesus Christ. That's the only good news of baptism. Why didn't Tessa drown in this water? Because Christ went before. Why can you and I be allowed to pass through the flood, pass under the water of baptism, and arrive safely on the other side? Only through Christ. See, the removal of dirt, the external sign, that doesn't save. The external sign of passing through water doesn't touch your heart. The only reason that baptism is good news is because Jesus Christ was baptized first, that he suffered the baptism of fire and condemnation and wrath. He died in our place. And he rose again to bring us life. And he sent his Spirit to bring us purity and peace. Because of Jesus Christ, baptism is not something we should be afraid of, but something that we rejoice in. Because it's a sign of what Christ did for us, and what he is doing for us, and what he will do for us. To conclude, congregation, as we saw last week, the external sign does not change the heart. But that doesn't make the external sign useless. The external sign, the visible sign and seal, the water, it reminds us, it points us, it brings us back to Christ. There is good news found at the font of baptism. That's because Jesus Christ suffered and died in our place. Little Tessa and everyone here who has been baptized, the only reason we have access to the blessings of the sacrament are because Jesus Christ went before us and died in our place. So congregation, if you want the blessings of baptism, if you want the life and the renewal and the purifying work which is secured by Jesus Christ, then you need to be in Jesus Christ. You need to be in the ark, or you'll be consumed by the flood. For this true spiritual baptism, this baptism by Jesus, through Jesus, by this baptism you are saved, Peter says. And we need to be baptized. Every one of us here, we're born in sin. We need to be baptized by Christ. So congregation, cling to this Savior. Cling to Christ, because by his baptism, he turned your baptism into a blessing. That's the hope of George and Tanya, isn't it? That's the hope of us all as parents. That's the hope that we have for our children, that the blessings of Christ would be ours and our children. That's why we delight in seeing this little one brought here. We all should die because of our sins. That's what we deserve. But Christ went before us, didn't he? And he purchased blessings of life and renewal and life evermore. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, that he went through baptism for us, that he went through the flood, that he suffered and he died and he rose again so that our sins would be put to death through him and that we too would be raised to new life. We thank you for that sign and seal, that promise, that reminder that we deserve destruction and death because of our sins, but through Jesus Christ we might have life and life evermore. We thank you for that blessed reminder and promise. In Jesus' name, amen.